We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive, positively getting the show back out on the road. We are doing a cup of soup or bowl beginning 3 weeks from now. It'll be a week-long event. I'm wearing my Costas gear. We're going to be doing it at the Costas and Timonium this time around, moving it around the Beltway. We're going to be at Coco's that week. We're going to be at State Fair that week. And we're going to be at Pizza John's that week as well. So putting it all together, all of it presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at GBMC. It's a long weekend of football, a lot of games. Good game, really good games for the most part. Other than the Chargers couldn't get out of the way on Sunday night. But Luke Jones joins me now. Kind of kicking the week off, right? And they're not hiring a coach this week, I wouldn't think, right? I mean, these initial, I don't know when the purple plumes of smoke are going to happen, but so much of this is tied to Green Bay and Cleveland and Atlanta and Miami and on and on and on as to who sits where, when, and how. But I tell you what, this is an amazing thing for John Harbaugh, 18 years into this. And no matter how I feel about him personally, or you, or how much you're going to miss seeing him out in Owings Mills, as you're there, greeted by Chad Steele, introducing you to the new coach there and saying this is the way it's going to be. And whatever the changes are going to be, Harbaugh, at least for a week, got to be everything he's ever wanted to be, right? Like, if he doesn't go to the Hall of Fame, if he doesn't live long enough to go to the Hall of Fame, if he coaches another 20 years, you're like, I don't know. But like, this is the week where like he is the candidate, right? He is the golden child. He can do no wrong after not doing anything right here for a long time, right? Like, boot off the field, village idiot, all of that, right? Can't get along with the media, like all of that. Can't get along with his quarterback, which is probably why he's gone. But it's fascinating to read Zriebeck's take, Hensley's take. I have my own take because I know plenty of people still in the building to know plenty of things. That he got fired in the car on the way home, like the emotional intelligence of whatever that would be, after 18 years, and then a get together on Thursday. And then the part where the reporters are being lied to, or there's just two completely different sides to every story, or three actually. Todd Monken's, Lamar Jackson's, and John Harbaugh's. And the only one that's surviving is Lamar. And he's playing SMD music out on Instagram saying, I'm getting my bag, dude. I'm running the place now. So it's a fascinating thing to find out who's going to sit where. But it has been, this is the silly season if you're into such things. If you like looking at fifth round draft picks in Indianapolis, I kind of find this management thing to be fascinating in the modern era, where John Harbaugh is going to double his money for getting fired. Steve was magnanimous in firing him to hold the contract that he never, Steve knew the minute he said, you're fired, John's going to have a job doubling his money, and he's going to be off the hook for the money. So a little bit of this is, it's fascinating parlor game amongst oligarchs, honestly, really.
Yeah, and a lot of it is still open for interpretation. I mean, you just said it. I mean, how someone perceives an event that happens might differ from not just one other person or two other people. It could be 12 other people, right? I mean, there are a lot of people in that building, and there are a lot of people in that building impacted by this singular decision, right? I mean, the idea that
The whole
John Harp,
floor is going to get cleared out of
right? I
coaches,
mean, you're
right?
talking
Like
about the
literally,
entire.
right?
Yeah, right. You're
Yeah.
talking about an entire coaching staff. Some will land on their feet. Others will go to the college level. Others might not work in the NFL again. I mean, that's kind of how this works. So, the inner workings of it, I'm not shocked by any of this. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a great look. The nicest way you could say when you're talking about a 18-year employee being fired in the car over the phone, as multiple reports and accounts have indicated, it's not a good look. I'm not going to sit here and defend that. At the same time, in a general sense, Has anyone ever said there's a great way to be fired? You know what I mean? Like there.
Steve didn't even get on his own plane for an hour and
Sure.
45 minutes and roll in to do it.
But
And,
how many, but on a.
listen, I've heard rumors that he's sick. He doesn't look sick lately for sure, or that he had been, like, I hear all of these things because things come to me when I write Dear Steve Bisciotti pieces that no one reads. No one reads my work. I know none of you have read that. But like, there's all sorts of rumors because, as you've got the quote of the century, so screw my story and all that. Your quote's still the best one. They take serious secrecy almost as seriously as they take winning. And that's who they are. And that's why Chad Steele's out in front of it. And Sashi Brown's a mystery. And the coach lives behind gates. And like, the whole organization has changed. Anyone that's been in that building any period of time, you, me, anyone, knows that John got the purple royal crown, as I wrote, after he won the Super Bowl, and the last 12 years has been coach for life. So all of this is a little strange. You've never been to a press conference out there where they've had a different coach, and you've been doing this 2 decades. So like, things are about to change, but part of it is the new coach comes in and says, I've got an owner that expects me to win right now, a quarterback I got to get along with, a general manager I may or may not even know, and I want to put my stamp on the building, like in a general sense. And oh, by the way, this is for Steve and Eric too. This is perceived as the golden job, right? This is the job everybody wants. And Harbaugh's the coach everybody wants to hire. That's how great their reputation is. Well, let's go see if he's Bill Belichick with the Giants with this kid, or if he's going to go. Yeah, apparently he's not going to go to Miami. I don't know. I mean, the fact that Schefter's a Michigan guy and didn't even link him to Miami, like, and he knows Ross maybe better than John knows Ross. But John's going to be the job. Or the hire, and the Ravens are going to be the plum job. And next year, John's going to have that team to 10 or 11 wins. And whoever the coach is here, and you and I haven't even come to terms as to whether it's going to be a Stefanski Schwartz older guy or whether it's going to be a young quarterback whisperer. I have no idea. But in a general sense, you're coming into a situation here that's pretty hot fired, I would think, right? Like, you're going to get fired in 2 years here if you go 9-8, 9-8 here with Lamar. Like, 10 wins in first round playoff, or who Steve's bringing you in here to win a championship in the next 36 months the way Billick did in the beginning.
That's where it's unique. But even with Brian Billick, I mean, let's not sit here and say that the Ravens had championship aspirations right away. Like they knew they were talented. They knew they were
Well, Ron
ascending to
Woodson and
some
Shannon
degree.
Sharp weren't here to pick daisies to get
Understood,
paid.
understood. But at the
Yeah.
same time, like let's not act like the Ravens were like the perceived Super Bowl favorite in 1999 or even in
With
2000,
Tony
right? I mean,
Banks and Trent Dilfer at
yeah,
that point. Yeah. Yeah.
exactly. So yeah, I mean, there's. It is fascinating from the standpoint of how this job is perceived, how it's going to be perceived, but also how heavy the pressure is. And look, if you're a head coach candidate worth your salt, you shouldn't shy away from that
No, Ben
because you,
Johnson hasn't had any problem with that,
that's
right?
what I'm saying, right? I mean, there's plenty of first-year coaches, second-year coaches that have won Super Bowls,
John
including
Harbaugh
Brian
would say, I've
Billick.
won 193 more games than Ben Johnson or whatever the number is, right? Like,
Sure.
literally.
At the same time, it would say, well, how many games did you win in 2025? He did better than you, right? I mean, it's
Yeah, and
always,
we have a better quarterback.
it always depends on the timeline, right? And pressure is going to be a part of this. And, you know, you made the comment that John Harbaugh had a job for life for the last 12 years. Maybe that's a lesson to all of us that there's no such thing, right? I mean, even when it feels
No,
like
no,
there
no.
is.
In his position, it's failing up, dude. He smells delicious to
Well,
eight owners,
but I meant in
maybe
ball.
10 by the time we hear this,
You know what I mean?
and he's going to double his money. So there no violins for John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh was owed $50 million. He's going to get over $100 million. By the way, people are hitting me about what was. It's like Tony Bruno, who's crazy. I've been in his car. I know Tony Bruno. I sort of like Tony, but Tony's all trumped up. He's out of his mind. Tony Bruno apparently reported this. And if I'm wrong about this, then I apologize to Tony, who I do like sort of kind of when we're, I don't know, talking about the Phillies or something. But the notion that he's asking for full control, 100 million, like all of these things, I've never sensed that John wants to run the football operation, but I sense that John's a megalomaniac and a liar. But I've never sensed that he wants Eric's job, right? Or be have that person under his thumb. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
I'd be surprised if it's now. There's that, and there's wanting to make sure you're walking into a good situation, that you like the general manager, you trust the general manager, you feel that the general manager is going to do a good job, which is why some of these jobs out there, it's one reason why I think, other than his link to the owner and the fact that Miami's a great place to live and he's going to make a lot of money if he goes there, I don't know what else is appealing about that job. They don't have a quarterback. Their cap situation is you know what, for the next, at least this year and
Dude, I
next
think
year.
institutionally the
And he's
Browns could give him
63.
1% of ownership or something crazy to put his name on it and say, come back to the Midwest, John, and fix the Browns and, and stuff it up the Ravens' ass for the next 20 years, the rest of your life. John may like that. I'm just saying, like, these are billionaires, dude. Like,
Sure.
I'm convinced that guy fired his coach in Miami thinking he had John from the Michigan angle or whatever. And I said to my wife, Steven, and I've met Steven Ross. I mean, I've touched Steven Ross's phone. He and I have talked, Like, my sense of that dude is that, like, he thinks he's hiring John Harbaugh. Arthur Blank thinks he's getting the best candidate because he's Arthur Blank. And who knows what John wants? John might run the Arizona Cardinals if the Bidwell give him a piece of the action, and his wife likes Scottsdale because they have a good time at the Biltmore, because I've seen him out there with their kid. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
have no idea. John gets to do whatever John wants to do for the first time. And I said this to my wife. I'm like, when John Harbaugh got hired here, he was living in like a regular house in Philly, making a couple hundred grand a year, putting money away, thinking he was going to go coach Boston College. He's walking out of here with $150 million in the bank, $100 million. That's a quarter of $1 billion, right? So just, and he's perceived, and his family name is perceived as being like, come back to Cleveland, build the Hall of Fame. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Your brother's going to be in the Hall. Come to Cleveland. Here, I'm an idiot. Take a percent. We're building a new stadium. I need to sell something here. I need the Harbaugh name. Screw Bisciotti in the ring. They stole Ozzie. We're stealing you. Like, that's the way Mr. Big thinks, right? I mean, I don't. That all these guys are Mr. Big, and Harbaugh can run their country. He can be the president of Venezuela or Greenland, or the Jets or the Giants or the Packers. Now are involved in this. Who the hell knows? Maybe the Steelers by the end of the week. I don't know. But this is wild, dude. Because this is not, I didn't have this on my bingo card when you and I drove home Monday, that they were going to can his ass over the phone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. And by the time the games hit on Saturday and Sunday, Harbaugh's the hottest coaching candidate in history. He's going to get more money than anyone. I'm sitting here talking about him getting points the way like Gruden was into the Raiders, and all of these guys love the shine of all of that. I mean, Matt Ryan's running the Falcons again,
Right.
right? Troy Aikman has no connection to the Dolphins at all. He just hired their general manager. So, I mean, and it's not like these owners know what they're doing because they hired a general manager, and now John's like, I want the general manager. Miami's not for me. You're off. You just hired a dude. I ain't worried about that guy.
Well, and that
I
was
got
going to be.
seven other jobs I can pick from. Offer me $100 million. I mean, if that's the week we're in, where John is golden, and this job is also golden. Crazy times, dude.
It is crazy times. And I would also throw out this fact that is certainly making an impact here. His agent, Brian Harlan's really good at what he does. So, look, John is clearly a very hot commodity. I'm not saying that, I'm suggesting otherwise, but a lot of what we're at, that's out there, I mean, right down to in the 30 minutes after the news first broke that Adam Schefter's reporting that John Harbaugh's agent is saying that seven teams had reached out to him already, which you do the math. At the time, there weren't seven other openings beyond the Ravens at that point in time, speaks to the interest. So
And it
there,
doesn't have to be true. He's an agent. He's
and
allowed
that's
to
my
lie
thing.
too.
There is a PR machine at work, in addition to, yes, I do think he's in high demand. I do think the Giants, for example, very much want him, right? The Dolphins, I mean, the perception was that. But at the
He
same
doesn't have to have
time,
everybody want him. He just has to have the job he
just
wants
need,
want him
I mean,
and
really, you need
make the
two.
money right. And all these guys want to make the money right. So,
Sure.
like, I don't, they're all going to be bouncy and happy when you and I are in Indianapolis and you're inside the press conference and I'm getting drunk at Peyton Manning's place. When they have their State of the Union, they're, whoever the new coach is, Kevin Stefanski is going to be wearing purple. Whoever it is, he's going to be wearing purple. He's going to have his OC, his DC, his Kingsbury, his quarterback whisperer. Lamar's going to be simpatico. Chad Steele's going to have scripts for all of them that he got off of AI and hand them all and say, read the scripts and shine it all up. And, you know, so Harbaugh's in Cleveland. Screw Harbaugh. You know, whatever. I mean, that's where there's going to be a new war. You know, Peyton Manning went and played for Denver, right? Like Rod Woodson came and played for the Ravens. You know, like John's going to go somewhere else and be on a sideline, come back to Baltimore. They're going to love him. They're going to boo him. They're going to honor him. He's going to cry. He's going to laugh, but he's going to laugh to the bank. And the Ravens are going to get their first crack at what they want. And I just know what they've had, right? That's what I wrote about in my Dear Steve Bisciotti letter. It's the only thing you've ever known. And the Harbaugh power thing after the Super Bowl, the noose got tighter and tighter. And all you have to do is look at my company, look at you, look at me. You're inside, I'm outside. There are no barn shows. There's no, you know, there's no revelry. It's all in-house. They've thrown the media out. They've corporatized all of it. The seats are empty. They're begging people to buy tickets, and they have the most exciting player on earth. And they're 8-9. That, and they have a roster that may be perceived one way or the other. Kevin Stefanski played against this. Jim Schwartz played against it. Be interesting to hear what they think of Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum, because as you pointed out very adeptly last week, like the point of the week you made last week is they're draining brains everywhere this week. They're bringing everybody in and trying to get everybody what they know. But I know one time Jim Schwartz did an interview with the head coach and said they were coming in asking me who my OC, who my DC, all that. I'm not giving all that away. So I don't know how much they're giving. There's a little bit of that gamesmanship
Sure.
too. I can get that guy. I could get this guy. We're going to take a run at that guy. But the wild part is how many jobs are open? Because
It's quarter of
nobody
the
knows where
league.
they're sitting. And every Jim Schwartz and every coordinator in Cleveland, that building got leveled out. Miami got leveled. All of these. I probably know 15 unemployed coaches right now, Anthony Weaver being one of them. Like, I mean, just Zach Orr being two of them. I mean, you know, I mean, guys in my phone that I know that are unemployed right now that are going to get employed. But man, for anyone that's involved in this industry, and I know it so well because I've known so many coaches. And I remember when Marvin was trying to get a job 25 years ago, was teaching me this stuff. And Brian Billick would teach me every year when he would tell me, I'm not going to let somebody come up here and, yeah, I'm going to go get Scott Linehan. I'm going to go get Cam Cameron. I'm going to go get whomever. That's the way they're all talking right now. And it's a wild behind this. We haven't talked about what's going on in the field, but behind the scenes, and now that we're in it for the first time in 18 years, it's a wild, wild modern West. It really is. And with these billionaires and millionaires and a guy like Harbaugh, who's going to play three of them against four, like literally, like he's going to go to all these places. They're going to beg him to not leave the building. I mean, like, all that's about to happen this week. It's exciting.
Well, and like we said, I mean, the Ravens are in a similar position from the standpoint of how they're perceived compared to any of these other jobs. You know, I mean, pending what could happen with teams just eliminated, what could happen with any of that, right? I mean, you know, we've all talked about Green Bay or Pittsburgh or, you know, some of those teams as well, but it's unique because typically when you see these jobs open, there are major reasons why. Right? Ownership's perceived a certain way. The team hasn't won on the field. The previous coach was a disaster. That team's hired four coaches in the last 11 years. You know, but sometimes less than that. Sometimes it's four coaches in 9 years, right?
It's
I mean,
usually a combination of bad
right.
luck, bad
But
drafting, bad
I mean, it's
injuries,
a lot of bad,
failed
a lot of
quarterback,
bad.
all of
Where
that, right?
whereas like the difference between Harbaugh on the coaching free agent side now and the Ravens on the head coach opening side is there isn't a whole lot of bad, right? Okay, there was 2025 bad, but even that, I mean, 8 and 9, we're not talking 3 and 14. So when you see a job like that come open or a coach like that become available, You do sit up in your chair and you say, wow, this is different. I mean, if it, some of these guys that have interviewed for head coaching opportunities in recent years and haven't gotten it, or, you know, guys like Clint Kubiak, right? Jesse Minter, now that the Chargers are out, guys that have been mentioned and maybe mentioned in even a little bit more than passing, but are perceived as up and comers. A lot of times when you're in that position, it's like you're looking for the first job that the first owner that taps you on the shoulder and say, yeah, we'd like to have you. But if it's the possibility that it's the Baltimore Ravens, it's holy cow. Like, I can go in there. Not only can I go in there and win, the expectation is I will go in there and win because that's what kind of coach they're hiring. Not someone that's going to have a 3 or 4 year plan. It's going to be, hey, we fell short this year. We expect to be back, you know, at the minimum. I mean, they're not going to necessarily state this, but you know, the requisite expectation would be the divisional round, right? I mean, that's kind of where, you know, the baseline had been here in recent years, and why there was so much disappointment over what happened, that, you know, and why John's unemployed now, not for long, but albeit unemployed. So, I mean, it is crazy because, as I talked about last week, as I wrote about late last week at BaltimorePositive.com, and as you just mentioned, it from the Ravens' perspective, it's an opportunity to really cast a wide net and really try to learn. And as you mentioned, there is some gamesmanship, if you will, that, yeah, if Matt Nagy, for example, who was interviewed over the weekend, he's not going to necessarily give away all of Kansas City's inner secret, you know, their inner circle secrets and their most captivating intel if he doesn't really get a sense that the Ravens are really that interested in him. But at the same time, why wouldn't you try to find out what you can? And sometimes, I mean, you know this, and you've covered the NFL longer than I have. And coaching, I mean,
Not professionally.
it's network, but it's networking. It's who you know. It's who you know when you know, right? I mean, it's so there's a lot of that at work. So that's why I
Well, that's
said.
why this divorce last week between Harbaugh and Bisciotti, there's been so much reporting on it. And again, I mean, John's lied to me enough. I mean, Bisciotti lies to me every time I don't have a press pass. I'll put him in, you know, just the acknowledgement that you're going to be inside the press conference being pointed to by Chad Steele, and I'm outside the building when I'm the most qualified media member in this city to ask him questions by far, by far. There's no one close. Literally, there's no one to sit with Steve Bisciotti for 2 hours and talk about his business and the history of his business and the media and the money more qualified than me. I'll say that flat out. So I'm going to be qualified in talking about it out here at Baltimore Positive and on the internet and anywhere else I want to on a bar stool at Costas the other night. By the way, nice shirt. Thanks, Pete. But when it comes to Bisciotti and this job and the interviewing process and the Zoom interviews and who's giving intel and who's not, for me, with taking the job and thinking like I've got to win right now, veteran coaches, rookie coaches, everything I heard over the weekend were my first instincts. This is what players were saying on television, what coaches were saying on television, what Hall of Famers were saying on television, which is this person has to communicate with Lamar over the next 36 months. That's all that, like, it's a different kind of job in that way than Steve saying, I'm getting my next Hall of Fame. I'm getting a coach that can win me a Super Bowl. Like the way Bruce Arians showed up in Tampa for 5 minutes when he didn't even want to coach anymore, right? Like I don't need Dick Vermeil out in St. Louis, and then maybe even Kansas City after that. But I'm not saying they need a 70-year-old coach or a 50-year-old coach or a 30-year-old coach. They like to me to think they're going to hire a defensive coordinator. And again, selling it's one thing. I mean, they're going to put somebody on the dais in the next 2 weeks, and you're going to be out there, and it's going to be a qualified candidate. And if it's the young African American defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, they're going to sell it up as a D'Amico Ryans here, right? That's what they're going to do. And who knows? Houston might be playing then. They might not. But to me, they need someone that on the dais understands offense at a level that in the 2 minute clock, they're on the mic the way I see McVay on the mic with his quarterback when things
Yeah.
nuts got tight in Carolina the other day. Like, I see this all weekend. And I don't know whether that's the OC, the quarterback coach, Cliff Kingsbury, if you pay him $4 million a year to come in and just manage Lamar. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. But this is the science of Eric DaCosta's waited his whole effing life to do this. He got junior practice back in 08, and Eric was heavily involved in the hiring of John, because I think even then the perception was he eventually would work with the coach if the coach worked out. Because I think Eric was more thought to be in that seat quicker than he was in the end. Like, and so Eric was a part of it. Eric's going to be a part of it again with 18 years more of wisdom, full control of everything, a guy that sort of works for him, even though you don't see it that way or it won't look like that in the org chart. But that guy's going to have a job because Eric's going to go into Steve and say, that's our guy. And I hope Eric's vote counts more than, I don't know, Sashi Brown or Chad Steele or, you know, anyone else.
I would
Because,
assume it would. I
yeah.
mean,
Well, then
what
Eric's going to pick the general manager to some degree because Steve's going to say, I don't have the time. Or maybe Steve will come in on Tuesday and look like he's got all of this energy for it because he's the greatest in the world at doing it. Ask him. He's made $6 billion doing this. Who am I to argue with that? I'm not even being
Right.
a jerk. He picks people. So if he is got his Willy Wonka hat on, is going to come back in the purple tuxedo and sit around for 3 weeks. I like that kid over there. I like that guy. That guy will look good. He'll look good on the website. He won't look like Charlie Weiss. You know what I mean? Like, this is all buffing out a lot of that as well, where Rex Ryan had to lose weight to get a job because, like, he just didn't fit the suit that they need now. Like, I that's the league. You know, I
Right.
literally, that's the league at this point. But this next couple of weeks for the Ravens, this is you get a little window into their soul or what their soul is going to be after John. And I think you and I have also, having been in that building so long, and I went from going in that building and being treated like a community member, a stakeholder, a PSL holder, someone who was respected and gave respect and was treated well, and to seeing that building become a den of vipers during John Harbaugh's time there. And it's been years since I've been in there. They've done all the renovation and spent all the money and done all that stuff now. Someone last week, someone that I have known since my childhood, goes in that building as often as you go in the building. And he wrote to me and he called it the dungeon, not the castle. And I think I haven't driven on one winning drive since the last time. Chad Steele reminded me last week. He said it was when you asked Lamar a question about whether he loved Baltimore or not. He had it all in his dossier. Chad Steele did. He was reading off of his thing when he got around to calling me on the phone. He said June, whatever the OTA was, I asked Lamar if he loved being in Baltimore. That was my last question I got to ask. And by the way, he survived longer than John did. So Lamar's running the team right now, too. People ask, is Lamar in on it? Well, Steve, he's not going to run my place. Well, Lamar better have had dinner with the head coach before you hire him.
That's fair. I mean, I don't think Lamar's going to be sitting in on all the interviews, if you're asking me
He
that.
shouldn't be.
But
He shouldn't be.
oh, and I'm not saying whether he should or not. I mean, but at the same time, let's also not be naive and say that he's just one of 53 players, right? The franchise quarterback's never just one of 53 players. I mean, that's the truth. If that's not the case, then you don't have a franchise quarterback.
By the
Now,
way, how about the
that's
report that one of the players went to Bisciotti's home in Florida?
yeah, I.
That would have been Lamar. It's not Roquan. Like,
Well, I.
why would Steve care about what anybody else in the building thinks other than Lamar? Why? Like, literally.
Yeah, I.
I mean, it's a report. It is what it
That's
is. I mean,
that said,
there's another lot of
they
reports.
do have a lot of players from Florida, though. Also, I don't know. I mean, look, at the end of the day, like we can sift through all the different accounts and reporting and opinions and sourced information versus other sourced information that's conflicting in some way. And that's, let me be clear, that's not questioning someone's reporting as much as when things like this go down, there are going to be, it's going to be perceived differently. In the same way that if five or six different people witness a car accident of some sort, you're still going to have
It's
certain
kind of like,
details.
not to be interrupted, but it's kind of like if a guy in a mask went up to a woman in a car in Minnesota and shot her in the face from behind, and there's videotape of it, you kind of see that she was moving forward. I just wanted to point that out because I have an FCC license.
So, but my point with all of that is you are going to have certain details that some individuals are going to see that others may not have seen. Some are going to emphasize more than others are going to emphasize, right? I mean, it's so there's a lot of that at work, but you still come back to they didn't win enough football games this year. In recent years, they haven't won enough football games in January relative to what they have looked like in the regular season. And when you have someone who's been in place for a very long time, as John Harbaugh was here in Baltimore, and that's happening, and that's there's been a pattern of that. And let me be clear, I will continue to reject the idea that this was all John Harbaugh's fault. It wasn't. You will hear me, and I think other people more and more say, okay, when the new head coach is in place and when they start the 2026 season, like, all right, if it was John Harbaugh and the coaching staff, I want to see the players look a lot better than they did last year. Right? Because, like, one thing you can say is John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl title to his resume. Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, and go down the list, right? Any of the core players that have been on this team, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, right? I mean, whoever's still here in 2026 and beyond, it's on you now, right? Because if the Ravens have their pick of any of the head coaches that are out there, other than John, right? Because they've thrown him out the door, then you bring that guy in and you have similar results in terms of not so much that they'll go 8-9 again, but let's say similar results in terms of falling short in January. Then I'm sure, will there be fans and will there be people that will point the finger to the head coach again or the coordinator again? Sure. But I'll be much more inclined to say it's this group of players then, right? These guys can't win the big one. So there's some of that going on, but I also think so much of this just comes back to you had a head coach in a place for a very long time. There had been growing frustration in recent years as far as not being able to break through in January. You have a franchise quarterback who is 29 years old, which is not, it's not Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers in terms of age, but considering Lamar's recent, 3 of the last 5 years with injuries, you do at least question, how long is his prime going to be? Right? You don't want to waste any more time. But because the goal isn't even just like, oh, just to win one. Like, you'd love to win two. You'd love to win three. You'd love to become the next Chiefs, right? I mean, everyone aspires to that if you feel like you have the talent and the quarterback to do that. So there is that urgency. And your head coach was 63 years old. As we said, and we talked about this, talking about the
His
Harbaugh
age
Tomlin
has no
thing.
problem with the next people that want to hire him and make him richer. Like, literally, he's not tarnished at all as a 60. And by the way, that's to Sean Payton and to some other people that are doing it at a level where they've come back and had that sack. Andy Reid.
Yeah. That's not to say that none of these teams are don't have that opinion, though. I mean, there might be one or two that say, and look, it might come down to some of these jobs. I mean, John Harbaugh's not even going to consider a couple of these teams. I mean, that's just the
Where do
truth.
you think he doesn't consider?
What's appealing about Arizona at this point? I mean, it seems like they're kind of done with Kyler Murray, right? I don't think there's a whole lot appealing about Miami. That's why I do kind of wonder if some of the
It
for
would
all
feel
the
like John wouldn't want to start from scratch.
and that's kind of my
John wouldn't
point.
want to go
Like,
7-11
that's why I
next
kind
year
of
or
wondered
whatever,
about the
7-10,
Dolphins and especially when the Dolphins
11.
didn't hire Chad Alexander, who clearly has some ties to John Harbaugh here in Baltimore. That's where I looked at that and I said, maybe the Dolphins aren't like all in on trying to hire Harbaugh. I think the Giants are the team that overwhelmingly makes sense if John's a believer in Jackson Dart. If John's a believer in Jackson Dart, then that Giants job, look, it's a ownership group, ownership family that has a reputation for stability, even if they haven't really looked that way since Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin were running the show. That's the one to me that,
Bringing John to New York. Oh my
well,
God, the media up there have a field day with him.
I mean, I would say this much. I think he'd have probably, as time would go on, I think he'd probably realize, well, man, I had it pretty good in Baltimore. But I just,
Yeah, Nestor wasn't a bad guy having breakfast at
I,
six
but
in
I
the morning
also,
in my office.
but I also just think with some of this, and this goes with the character, the categorizing whether you've lost the locker room or not, right? I mean, what the relationship was with Lamar or Lamar with Monken, like Todd Monken, when he did the interview with Ryan Ripken late last week, he kind of just said it, put it bluntly, like we all could have done things better. We didn't win enough. And you kind of come back to the simplistic explanation for they didn't win enough. Very much the case was the case in 2025, but in recent years, yeah, they didn't win enough in terms of losing in Buffalo last January. They didn't win enough in terms of your first AFC title game that you've ever hosted. First time the city has done it since the early 70s, and you lost, right? I mean, 2019, you lost in the divisional round, despite the fact you were the best team in the NFL that year. So it adds up, and like we try to find a smoking gun when in reality it's just staring you in the face. They didn't win enough relative to what the lofty expectations they had ultimately created for themselves in the Lamar Jackson era. And how much of that is John? How much of that is the assistant coaches? How much of that is the players? How much of that is Eric DaCosta and the scouts and their pro personnel people? The answer is yes.
How much of that is Lamar?
I said the players, sure. So when you look at that, yeah, you get to a point whether, and I made the point before we kind of went in a different direction, but when we started talking about the Harbaugh Tomlin thing back when the Steelers came into Baltimore the week after Thanksgiving, we said it then. These guys have been in place for nearly 2 decades. That's a long time, even if you're talking about 1955 in the NFL. Both those guys, very much close. They and Harbaugh's at obviously it's over now, but we said at the time, no matter what you feel about either of those guys right now, they're both much closer to the end than the beginning. I mean, and that's the truth. I mean, when you're talking about coaches that are, we're not talking about 38-year-olds like Clint Kubiak, right? We're talking about John Harbaugh, who's 63. I mean, he's not going to be in his next place for 18 years. I mean, I wouldn't think. I mean, if he's going to
Well,
coach
that's
till he's
why Clint
80.
Kubiak sounds like the next hot coordinator, and that's awesome and all that. But Kevin Stefanski, who's done it and has been doing it the last couple of years, or some of these other people who have done it for a period of time, may be better suited for this job this time around. That's all.
But
And
why?
that's kind of how I feel about it. And I'm older and wiser and closer to death than life, like Steve Bisciotti, into saying, if I want it and I want it right now, I'm going to put somebody who I know knows what they're doing in that seat, not somebody I want to grow into it. But that's never been Steve's. If you go back, by the way,
But
Lucas
I
here,
don't.
I'm here. I put up the chapter from Purple Rain 2 that I wrote about Bisciotti that's extensive. So anybody that's mad at me for writing Dear Steve letters, you can go back and read me kissing his ass for 24 pages too and telling his story. And there's all sorts of quotes because he used to talk a lot. And every time he's talked very honestly. So that's why this Tuesday thing for me, I'm fascinated by him coming out of his shell and being the straight shooter on the podium. That, as you said, I think somebody said over the weekend, Kevin Byrne didn't always like that he was saying whatever he wanted to say. But
He got himself in, I mean, not in the sense that the owner is ever really in trouble because he's the owner, but he absolutely said things over the year. I mean,
well,
like
a
when
couple of
he,
years ago, he's price fixing the quarterback thing 3 years ago, right?
how
4
about the
years ago.
fact, I mean, this isn't talking out of turn. I know that John wasn't happy when Steve admitted after the 2017 season that he considered firing him. Now, I don't think he considered it more for than just like, not much more than a passing thought, but at that point in time, they had just missed the playoffs for the third straight year, right? I mean, that was Steve's last time he had spoken in Owings Mills in a press conference setting. This was 3 months before, two and a half months before they drafted Lamar. So, yeah, I mean, he's always been honest to the point of it's refreshing for our purposes, but for the purposes of an organization that's trying to, keep things buttoned up and not revealing too much or not wanting to spill the beans on something that you know,
Well,
is it
after Ray
necessarily
Rice, they're run by
resolved?
their legal department and their security
Sure.
team. They
Sure. I
are.
mean, I don't disagree, but yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated to see what he's going to say. I'm fascinated to see, you know, how much of the process they're going to talk about. You know, will they talk in any meaningful detail about what the process will be, right? I mean, we know, and this is kind of the way it works in the modern day. I mean, other than teams that are fully eliminated, you know, the first round of these interviews are they're Zoom calls, right? I mean, they're talking on video like you and I are doing right now. So anyone's watching us on YouTube, and you know, they spend time, they ask some preliminary questions. You kind of just, you know, I mean, because some of these people they don't even know. Like I don't know how well Eric DaCosta knows Nagy, for
Well,
example,
job
or.
interviews used to be you got on a plane, you flew in, you had a book, you sat down, you met people, you laid out your plan. I would think on
And
a
they'll do
Zoom
that in the
call,
next round.
you could do all sorts of things by pulling up slides and you could
Sure.
make a presentation if
Sure.
you chose to do that as the head coach. But it's so much, and they all know this, it's so much relationship. It's so much 6 in the morning in sweatpants. We got our ass kicked last night. I've got a head cold. My DC's your wife is pregnant, and we got guys coming in the building. Like, it's chaotic in that building, dude. It was chaotic 30 years
Sure.
ago when Billick ran it.
I mean, it's not something you want to do. I mean, despite how some of these owners hire and fire coaches every other year, it's not something you want to do. And that's where I will give the organization credit from the standpoint of they're only going to be doing this for the fourth time in their history. I mean, this organization's going on 31 years old, you
Well,
know,
that's why hearing
this
Bisciotti
fall.
say, "I'm going to get my next Hall of Fame," then we're at a different place. Then we're going to get somebody who's going to be a caretaker here for 3 years and get through the Lamar era. I'm not looking for Ted Marchabrota here running the K-gun, but I am looking for somebody that has whispered the quarterback successfully in real time in 2 minute drives in the game and run a building, because running
Well,
the building's
that's
its own,
and that's the big key. I've written, much like others have opined, that my general preference would absolutely to be an offensive head coach that you can marry in lockstep with your quarterback in the same way that McVay and Matthew Stafford do it, in the same way that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have done it for years, right? That whoever that is, the guy that's going to be the play caller, or at least the primary play caller, or even if they're not calling plays every single week, they are very intimately involved and very hands-on
they
in
could
everything you do
at
offensively.
any
Right.
point,
They have
right?
an ex yes. So,
John was not that guy.
no, of course
John
not.
was never going to take over the game with
Of course
4 minutes
not. That
left and run
wasn't
it,
his area
but
of
he had to come and
expertise.
answer questions for it afterwards.
Sure. That said, as much
For
as that is
Mark
my.
Trestman too, right? For guys that failed tremendously as well. Yes.
That said, as much as that would be my general preference, if you're asking Luke Jones for his opinion, which isn't worth much, you know, with my extensive coaching experience of 0 years and playing experience of through my senior year of high school, right? So not at all talking here in terms of having any true professional experience or insight on that, other than just following it, you know, as a media member. But as important as the Lamar factor is, in terms of keeping Lamar happy, sure, and helping this contract situation go as smoothly as it possibly can. When it comes to winning a Super Bowl, however, you still have the other 52 guys on the roster. You still have to manage an entire coaching staff. You still have to manage every phase of the game. You still have to keep everyone happy, even if you're not treating everyone exactly the same way, right? And look, we all know that the stars of a team are going to be treated differently than the 53rd guy or the 69th guy, which would be the last guy on the practice squad, right? So, all that being said, there is more to it. And we have seen over the years, not in Baltimore, but over the years, we have seen so many brilliant offensive coordinators, so many brilliant defensive coordinators get a head coaching gig. And what do we find out? They don't have an aptitude for that job. One of my all-time favorite examples, it's not football, it's baseball. Ray Miller, fantastic pitching coach over a long period of time at various stops. Ray Miller wasn't a manager. Now, some of that might have been that the cast of characters that he inherited from Davey Johnson, and you bring Albert Bell into that, all right. I mean, we all know there are always so many variables at work, but the idea was, as terrific as Hall of Fame caliber as Ray Miller might have been as a pitching coach, he wasn't that as a manager. So that's where I think for all of us, what media who, as much as we might hear bits and pieces of how job searches are going, we're still not going to be as intimately familiar with it. Fans certainly aren't. We can throw darts at whichever coordinator we like, but we don't really know. Even these teams, you go through
Dude, the
the
last
interview
time he hired a
process.
special teams coach that nobody would have ever thought he would have
Right.
hired.
And it worked out. It was a home run,
And
regardless of
I
how.
remember, if I remember this correctly, and you go back to Purple Rain 2 and read about it, but John came in and wowed them. He
Sure.
wowed them with his energy and his acumen and his family name, and he and Steve just hit it off.
Sure.
Like, literally, Steve saw stars in John Harbaugh, and 18 years later, and $150 million later, and Super Bowl win later, he fired him on the phone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. Luke, let's take a break. There's plenty more to talk about here through the weekend. There's games. My God, they play games this weekend. And the Ravens are going to draft 14th. I'm just all sorts of things falling out of the tree, even like who they're going to play next year and places Harbaugh could wind up where they play him. He is Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, get it back out on the road. I'm trying to work through the weather here and work through the whole job hiring thing. We have all sorts of, by the way, our company's growing too. So thanks to all of you who have been sharing us, hating us, making fun of my hair. That's why I wore it out for all the YouTube guys out there because the dudes love it on YouTube. GBMC sponsors us and the Maryland Lottery sponsors us and gets us out on the road. We'll be doing a good turn called A Cup of Soup or Bowl. It'll be happening the first week of February. We'll be out all week in the community telling great community stories. And it's great because, like, I ran into Vince Fiducia the other day, my old blast buddy who runs Polly and BJ Surhoff's Foundation for Autism Pathfinders. So, like, that's the kind of thing where, like, that week I'm gonna have a bunch of guests on talking about awesome stuff going on in the community. We call it a cup of soup or bowl. And the week before that, I'm gonna reenact my radio row. So we got things happening around here. In addition to hiring a coach, they're going to play baseball in a couple of weeks. And I actually had breakfast with Katie Griggs and Mark Fine and Don Rovac last week, thanks to Mike Tisch and the folks at Connects. Orioles up and running, still looking for pitching. We'll talk some Oriole baseball around here as well. I had Allen on last week. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of baseball stuff, mixing in with the football stuff. And obviously, democracy and me being Venezuelan has led to me being in a sort of a perpetual bad mood the last couple of weeks. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNST, Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.